Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by Physiogrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, so today we are talking about cash physical therapy. To give people a context, I currently am running a mobile cash physical therapy business in Phoenix, Arizona. I have a space in the gym, but it's mostly almost like 95% mobile. Brian started like I have, and he now has six clinics in the tri-state area, and they are a hybrid where the physical therapy, he went from cash only PT to now he takes insurance with PT, but he also has a lot of cash revenue from a fitness side with each one of his locations. So it'd be more like a hybrid business. But today we want to talk about, because Brian's kind of walked the longer path with this and I'm currently in it. We see a lot of stuff online about how great, you know, a struggling insurance-based therapist who just wants to not see like 80 people a week, they're being told, oh my God, this is amazing. You should always go into cash and all that stuff. And to be fair, I'm happy I did the jump, but it's not all raindrops and butterflies. So we want to give this out as a podcast who's not trying to sell cash PT playbooks or whatever, to kind of give anybody who's thinking about this, or maybe an insurance-backed PT who's trying to get into cash, a little bit of perspective on what it's actually like to be a cash PT and the harder part of the business. So Brian, I mean, to kick that off, I love a saying that I heard on one of these business podcasts that basically says, once you're in a business, then you find out what business you're actually in.
Yeah, I think like that's, that.
I think that's different for PT with insurance and PT with cash. Because I think with insurance, the issue is optimization, right? You need to make sure that you have your verifications, your authorization, all that stuff, right? On track, perfect timing, minute by minute, right? But I think with cash, it's actually marketing. You're in a marketing business. And that's something that I definitely underlooked, right, as I started. And I had to learn so much about getting leads and sales and all this other stuff that I remember, God, I remember PTs saying, I don't want to do any marketing.
I know, right?
And all of a sudden, I jump into a marketing business. So,
well, here's what I would say. All businesses are marketing businesses, number one. Mm-hmm. I think here's the thing. I'm going to steal it from the ChatGPT line, a sneak peek as we kind of came up with this. This is, I think, my biggest gripe with cash physical therapy. It's not actually the concept of cash physical therapy, because I think that everything is cash physical therapy. The idea of, if you walk in, like, our payments collected for copays and deductibles and whatnot, like, people are griping about it now with us because they're paying $188, $160 or whatever, like that kind of thing, right? That's just a normal piece. I think one of my biggest gripe around cash physical therapy is actually all the business coaches around it, basically saying, are you burned out? Are you this? Are you that? Like, cash PT is the solution. It's like, well, not necessarily, because the business is the model. We've been talking about this a lot on our podcast and other stuff. And so the thing is, to your point, you're just marketing to a different population. That's the difference. Because the reason for why people in cash physical therapy won't complain nearly as much for the $150, $175, $200, $250 PT session versus when they have to pay their deductible for insurance, right, is two things. One, you're marketing to a specific person and you're actually like looking for a specific person. It's like we've talked about, like concierge doctors or other people that you're doing boots on the ground and BNI. Like you're talking about that. Number two, you're super transparent. That's what people are upset about in the insurance game. They're, you know, and that's, by the way, they're fully justified. Like the fact that you can go to an emergency room, walk out of here in America and be like, I have no idea how much I fucking know. You have no clue. Like that's that, yeah. Like we can all put ourselves in that shoe, in those shoes. And that's the difference. I think what you just talked about is the real reason, in my opinion, for why most people start in the cash-based side when they're trying to start a business is because it's far easier. It's way easier. You don't have to do, you know, like you can hop in your car and drive to someone's house and they pay you cash. Like there's zero overhead. Yep. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and you don't have to worry about insurance authorization, billing, etc. There's a lot of other stuff, but we're going to explain today why that might not necessarily be the more lucrative. And I'll even back it up. It's not more lucrative. I'll sneak peek on
Yeah.
that. I'll you know what I mean? So
Well,
we'll go through that process. That's what Owen and I were chatting about today.
that's the interesting part, right? Is you the feeling that, oh my God, it's just so much nicer to treat cash. We don't have to worry about insurance. Well, part of that is, the only people who are gonna even get past the "Do you take my insurance?" question are people where $200 is a terribly small percentage of their weekly spend. I mean, on order, these people are spending $25,000 a year on expenses, or a month, sorry, $25,000 a month on after-tax expenses, right? So the $200 session, relatively to the average household, is maybe spending like 8,000, right? $200 to 8,000 versus $200 to 25,000, three times difference, right? So you already have people who are not going to give you price friction, right? Which insurance, they are definitely going to give you price friction. And you get people that, I mean, typically to make that much money, you kind of have to know the basics of like going, sticking to a plan, building wealth, like all that stuff. Same as when you do with PT. So they're just easier patients to treat, right? They do what you say. They are invested, like all that stuff. So the day-to-day life of treatment life is much nicer in cash. But I think the business owner perspective, like what do I see in 5 years? Way better in insurance because you can leverage volume, right? And if you can manage, I mean, you're going to be able to turn on that faucet and you're going to make a hell of a lot more money in insurance than you are in cash only, right? Now, the problem there is there's I think there's more ceiling to cash, not only because there's only like 2% of the population or maybe 10 5% of the population that could easily afford it, but also the fact of like there's the key man risk, right? People want to see me. They don't want to see my other therapists. And if I only have so much time. So there's a lot of kind of ceilings on cash PT that if you just do only cash, right? Obviously, I think a hybrid would probably be better because you can, buoy yourself from insurance reimbursement issues, but that's
It
my thought.
comes down, in my opinion, to business practicality, honestly, and like principles of things, right? So the aspect of like what you're talking about is I could make the argument in a lot of different ways, and I'm sure we get pushback to be like, well, I have a cash-based practice and it does this, blah, 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 blah. Like, yeah, I mean, there's great cash businesses. This is not like a shit talking on cash-based PT. It's a shit talking on the marketing for cash-based PT, in my opinion, right? That's what it is. And my aspect of there's just a truth concept, and here are the differences of where like I think cash wins and where insurance wins. And I think that one of the big things, in my opinion, is actually the concept to what you were just talking about, Owen, is like there's businesses that are going to thrive in either way. But you just have to manage it exactly like I just described, a business. They are actually way more similar than people want to admit. The difference is one has an easier barrier to entry versus the other. Like insurance contracts are tough to get. Dealing with insurance piece is a pain in the ass. But I'm going to explain why it's far more lucrative, in my opinion. And that's because if you actually look at the business, me and Owen were just talking about it. So when you think about the mobile practice, so let's even just take cash in general. So we were talking about some pricing last podcast or two or whatever. But me and Owen were talking about some pricing, and I don't want to get in too much, but let's just keep the numbers somewhere around. So let's say in this case, Owen's charging 175, right? And me and Owen talked about this from the mobile perspective. And for you physical therapists out there, cash-based, who are mobile, this is for you. Listen up, because this is real money, and this is what you're leaving on the table by not having a location. So if you're at 175, right, and you're doing stuff through mobile practice, right, Owen was saying he's like, most I could possibly do is 23 sessions a week. I would make the argument you probably could do more if you had to, if you had a gun to your head, but nevertheless, for an hour, that's what Owen's doing.
Yeah,
Right?
comfortably. I'm talking,
Comfortably.
drop the kids off at school, pick them
Yeah.
up, and then I can go to some marketing networking meetings during the week.
I don't want to burn out schedule, right? That's what it comes down to, right? That like, cause I also would make the argument of, I would actually push back. I remember one of my physical therapists who left to go start a cash-based thing was like, I'm working like 60 hours a week and I'm exhausted. I got a kid on the way. Like, this is not what I thought it would be. So this also happens, guys. Like, this is real life. So what Owen just talked about is what I think a very practical schedule. 23, 175. that has a ceiling of if he's 100% productive, productive from January 1 to December 31st, never takes a day off, and that's what he does, right? Working, that schedule, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, however that many patients, it's 210K basically, right? I'm going to show you why this matters. So now what happens, I see a lot of mobile practices. Now what you're doing is you're a little stuck because you're like, well, they want me to treat them at home. How do I move? How do I do this? So you raise your rates. All right, cool. So at 225, let's call, and in fact, let's even jump to 250. Owen's a baller and he's fucking awesome physical therapist. I love him. We're doing 250. 250 times 23 patients. All right, times 52 weeks. Now where we're at is $299,000. We're just hitting $300,000, right? Again, Owen's happy, he's seeing patients, etc., all these things, right? And you're charging 250. We talked about this. Now you really start hitting the ceiling of what you truly can charge. And I know cash-based physical therapists, I know other people that do actually charge a little bit more than that. But it starts getting tight, man. You start getting tight. And again, I know there's guys out there, and I don't want to start dropping names, that are like in New York City that are like, oh, we can pay you X amount because we charge so much money because we're in New York City. That's New York City, guys. I got news for you. Yeah, New York City. How many of you live in New York City who are listening to this podcast? Like, I mean, people live all over the world. Like, it's not, it there's 9 billion people on this planet. So for the 8 million that live in Manhattan, okay, you probably can charge more because there's a lot of people there. That being said, I'm going to show you why this also works and why insurance works. So the volume game matters, right? So now let's go back to that 175. So now Owen works 40-hour weeks, and in my opinion, I'm going to change how I would tweak this. I would go to 45-minute sessions personally, because I think the price point of 175 matters. At 175, I'm going to see 40 patients. Now imagine if I did for 45 minutes. Guess what? I'm only working a 32-hour schedule, right? So 40 times 175 times 52 weeks, same exact metrics. I'm at $364,000 off the rip. So that's what I'm saying. It's not all about pricing, and it's about the structure of the business. And this is why, if you're a mobile physical therapist in cash, you got to start thinking about your first move shouldn't be to raise your prices. Your first move should be what Owen did, which is to get a place that you can start centralizing people, because you can actually really structure your lifestyle nicely, and you can start charging more. And you can also, by the way, start taking the Medicare, start taking some of the workers' comp stuff, get the billing stuff set up. Just do it slowly over time. And if you want to do that, cool. If you don't want to do it, cool. Like, that's fine. You can work, make it work. But my number one recommendation to anybody on the cash-based side, in person is where it's at in there. Or if you want to do something online, we could talk about it. But I think there's a ceiling to that too, personally.
Yeah.
But
Well, and that's the thing, right? When it comes to cash, is that, if you're a personable person, right, and you stick at it long enough, you will have a full mobile schedule, and it will be completely normal for someone to charge 175, 200, because I mean, that's what massage therapists charge, that's what personal trainers charge. So people who think that they've broken the code because they're full and have a $200 price tag after 5 years, like, I'm sorry, you just existed, right? Like, you're in a market that just doesn't have enough providers, right? Now, is that going to change? No, probably not, right? So that's a good thing. Hey, you can ride that for 30 years and you're having a great life, right? But if you want to have a bigger income, right? Or if you want to just go from owning a job to owning an asset in a business, you have to make some of those moves where there's more of a ceiling, right? And I know probably about 10 PTs who charge $400 an hour. They are not in the same city. There's maybe three of them in the tri-state area. But it's not like you and the four other people that you used to go work at the mill at, who now have mobile PT places, are all charging 400, right?
Well, and I would also say, Owen, too, on top of all that. All right, so say I'm going to treat people at their homes. Say I'm a mobile PT practice, right? Say I'm an online person that does this, right? And I've got a following, and then I hire somebody. It's very disruptible. It's very easy. Like, it's hard. Again, you're just making it harder to scale. I understand the reasoning, right? The reasoning for why most PTs are like, I want to be mobile first, because it's fucking scary to go sign a 5-year lease, 10-year lease, outfit a facility, like start putting down that money.
$2,000 startup cost.
Exactly. So the startup cost on the mobile PT practice is very low entry. I got news for you. So is it for everybody else. So the reality of the
Yeah.
situation, if Owen hires somebody and they're like, I don't want to work here anymore, but I'm going to like, and I'm not going to, I don't want to work at this place. I don't want to take any clients. Like, guess what? They're taking clients. Like, that's what's going to happen, right? That's how we all did it. So to a certain point, I think the aspect of, looking at the mobile side of it, you're more, it's better to have your standalone location. I would say the tiers are kind of this in this opinion of how you kind of raise. And I see it still to this day. This holds true. And if you want to push back on me, please leave a comment. I'd love to push back on it and have you on and we'll debate it. I think online is the most disruptable. I think mobile is the second most disruptable. I think in person in a gym is the next most disruptable. I think having a standalone location is the least disruptable. And I think if you can go, if you're in cash, it's less disruptible than if you have insurance. That's just my opinion. So that's like the hierarchy of how I would look at the business from a standpoint of stability. Right.
Yeah.
And that's where I think from a stability perspective, you got to think about different businesses and different things that you're doing and ultimately how you can grow the business. And if you find, well, this growth is tough because of X, Y, or Z thing, a lot of it comes from, well, I have to take a step back to build that process up, or I got to cut these clients loose to do that. And that's going to hurt. Or I don't have the cash flow for that. I got news for you. That's probably why you're stuck. Right, because
Yeah.
most I was in the same boat. Owen would be in the same boat too. Like, there's a lot of other aspects. It's like I will give some people credit. The people who jump straight to locations and were like, "I'm biting the bullet, making it work," that they get rewarded for being fearless and relentless in that
Yeah.
standpoint. I was the same way. I started mobile because I was nervous, right? I didn't know how
Well,
to make the change.
and everyone comes to it, right? And that's the thing
Yes.
that if you have high risk tolerance, you want to take out an SBA loan, buy a practice, let's go, right? That is a hell of a lot of risk tolerance.
For sure.
You could go, okay, I'm going to get a location, a table in a gym and take Medicare, right? That's probably a little riskier than just starting out cash on the side when you're already working for somebody. But at the same time, it's still, that's disruptible. But if you can make it so that you have the insurance contracts, because you're right, there's location-based insurance contracts in Arizona where literally if you are the one in the zip code, they don't give it to anyone else. Right. So if you, I don't know if they have that in Connecticut, but that's something that is a thing here. They also have issues, with different employer plans and who does what and all that stuff. And having the edge on that makes it so that your business will stay around for 20 years. Also, a lot of people listening to this probably weren't there in the recession, but I mean, I had a lot of patients in Phoenix, especially because Phoenix got destroyed by it. My first 2 or 3 years here, there were people on the table that were CEOs and lawyers and physicians, like your typical cash pay patient now, because they're underwater on their homes. Like they were using home equity to live their life, right? So the first thing that would have gotten cut in that situation is the convenience of a PT coming to me when I'm already paying healthcare premiums. So this is something that a lot of PTs on the internet have never experienced when people just don't have cash and it all dries up. And then, yeah, if you are the one guy or the one gal in a city that all the millionaires and billionaires go to, fantastic, you're still fine. But my guess is you're probably not,
No,
right?
exactly.
Or if you are, it took you a really long time to get there, right? So these are the things where, again, if you're thinking, I'm going to open cash and all the shackles are going to be ripped off of me. It's not. And I mean, with the benefit of hindsight, with the better benefit of perspective from us being 16-year vets of physical therapy and you being a business owner for 10 years, you remember the downsides,
For
right?
sure.
So it's tough.
I honestly think there's a lot of I understand it being in the standpoint of the fear aspect of it, what's going on, how the things change, what there's so many different concepts I think around it. My thing that I would take away from this for most people is and again I Owen, I hope you're cool with me sharing this, but me and Owen were having a conversation around pricing and what we were talking about from that perspective, and we've done a pricing podcast a bunch of times, so if anybody's interested in podcast, physiogrowth.com, physio-growth.com, come check it out, and we'll talk to you about the pricing aspect. But one
Don't
of the
forget
things
the
we talked about
dash.
with the dash, don't forget the dash, or you can join our school group. But my point being that I think with Owen that was smart was the idea of like, I'm going to raise prices on my patients I go to see mobile, and I'm going to keep the prices lower on my in-person, like in the gym. And I think while you're making that transition, you can also add like, you can add a Medicare because from 10 to 2, you can add that aspect. For workers' comp, same thing. And people might say, well, I don't want to see those patients. Okay, then don't add them. Like, that's fine too. Again, I'm also a big believer in like follow your passion, follow the reason you really wanted to go into that position. So I just think the bigger thing is, and again, like, it's so funny, Owen, while I was actually playing around with this, because this is where I'm at, and you were just interested. Like, you can go on to bizbuysell.com. And you can find all sorts of places that you can buy for under 100 grand, and a lot of gym owners, a lot of
Like
PT
businesses?
places. Heck yeah. Yeah. Like thought places. So like, and in any area you want, right? And I'll search Phoenix while we're at it. But the reality of these places is you can look at, where you can acquire different locations. I personally would acquire a gym. Because I'm in that game too. I love fitness. And then what I would do is I would put myself in there as a physical therapist. I don't know whether I take insurance or cash or whatever. I mean, I'd probably figure out the business side and kind of look at the landscape. But the reality of most, especially gyms are struggling, man. Like there's a lot of people, there's gross revenue, there's a certain amount of money, people are changing, people get burnt out, you never know what's going on. So in terms of like do they rent the space, maybe they bought the space, there's so many opportunities in that. And I think if more people start thinking, well, how would I come up with 85K? It's like, I get it, but that's the next layer to some of this stuff is like, you could just find a location too, and then ultimately try and start centralizing people back there. My point being is when you can centralize people together and add more volume, that is going to be far better than just jacking up prices on people. Unless you desperately love home care, unless you're like, you know what? I love getting in my car and driving around. Like, okay, cool. Do that too. That's fine too. That's awesome, dude.
Well, and that's it. It's you have to know yourself. I know for me, I'll get to a level like right now, I'm at a level that if you were to talk to me, a year ago, I'd be like, oh my God, that'd be so awesome. That's all I think about, right? Well, now there's a next level I want to get to, right? And then in another year or two, there's going to be another level, right? And knowing that informs my decision making. Knowing that informs the fact that, yeah, I could just say 250 for everybody and not do the location thing. And yeah, your math works out. I'd make a lot of money. But I'm going to take a hit on the location because I know that the other math you did of 40 visits a week is a lot nicer,
For
right?
sure.
And I also know, oh, and we take Medicare. Oh, and I just hired another therapist. Oh, and my company makes 40% off of that person, right? And I didn't have to do anything. And oh, I can add two or three more therapists. And then all of a sudden, there's 40% of five people. And wait a second, my bank account just got a hell of a lot bigger just because I decided not to go the $300, $400 per hour mobile session. So, knowing what you want to do, you should really always be doing the goal boards, vision boards, things like that, and reevaluating them constantly because you want them to affect today's decisions.
For sure, for sure. And I totally agree with you because I think that there's a lot of aspects. Like to give you an idea, Owen, I'm gonna blow this up because I hopefully if this gets us a million views, cool. And again, this is the type of stuff we talk about in physio growth, but there's literally a turnkey functional gym by you, 4,500 square feet. You can buy the whole business for 15 grand. Have you heard of the
Wait,
camp in
45,
mid
the
Phoenix?
what?
The camp, it's in mid Phoenix. You've heard of that? It's for sale right now for 15K.
$15,000 for
Yes.
a
And so
gym?
here's a gym that Owen knows. I by the way, we were totally ad lib. You can hear Owen's surprise. My point being is I'm busy myself, but you can look at it and you can look at the numbers. The gross revenue is about 165K. And start doing the math, guys. Like, look at the math. Here's what's happening. By the way, you probably can negotiate that down. At 165K,
Per year.
right, per year of what they're bringing in gross revenue, their rent is $7,462 per
Per
month.
month?
Per month. So if
Shit.
I
All
got
right.
okay, 7,462, right, times 12, guys, that's $89,000. So this has been established since that's just the rent, guys. So
So
that's
eighty
at
thousand. You're basically buying this guy's lease. That's
That's basically what
essentially
you're
what you're
doing. So
doing.
again, what you can do is he's asking for 15K because he wants out. That's what he wants. Like he wants out.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Someone like Owen, who just signed a lease for a gym, if you pay attention to this, guys, you can buy this location. And then what you could do is you can add your physical therapy practice in there. And
Yeah.
now what you can do is you have a whole nother business that's working. And then the key is you find the person, the manager, who ultimately can actually build out what you're doing. Right. And you can actually build
Yeah.
that too. So you can find a partner. You can buy an X. So anyway, that's the thing. Again, these are all over the place. I looked at several places like West Palm Beach, Florida. I looked at like another part in Tampa, Florida. You can find them in Connecticut. You can
You
find
know
them
where
wherever you
Brian,
want.
wants to retire to.
Exactly. So again, Arizona, like you can find them wherever. And that's my point.
Yeah.
My point being like this whole idea of like, oh, they're crushing it or this and that. Like this is literally a website I just fucking know of,
Yeah.
is bizbuysell.com.
Dude, the
So anyway.
gym business is hard.
Gym business is
Good
very
Lord.
difficult. The reason why it works so well for us is because we're a physical therapy company. It's that simple. But in
Yeah.
terms of like I don't want people to think of like, oh, look at these gyms. I'm like, this is, I'm looking at the picture. This is a sick ass gym. So it's
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say, I
it's
know a few, I have a few patients who used to work out there. But do they
exactly
put member, what's the membership count?
90 people, 90 active members.
For 15, 7, okay.
So you
I
start doing the
mean,
math. Anyway, this is.
that's not
That so so they'll be that
terrible.
you know so so Owen's got to be okay with me. Hopefully I didn't blow up everything on his radar, but yeah, that means
Oh,
you
God,
know it's
no.
in terms of and
No,
again, like
now it makes me a lot more bold going into trainers who are like,
for sure,
oh yeah, what are you gonna,
for sure.
well, now I have a lease with a great person, but like this should embolden anybody who's like, yeah, they want to sell me a closet space for $4,000 a month. And it's like,
This is.
bullshit, they do.
This
Yeah.
is why they want to do that, because they're underwater. So what they're saying is this closet space for 4K, guess what? You're just paying the trainer their salary. That's what you're doing.
Well,
So
and they have
ultimately,
90 members, and all those guys are definitely
yes,
going to come to you. And it's like, no,
for
dude,
sure.
like,
For
go
sure.
for the location and how much space you get.
And
That's
so
it.
for those of you who
Yeah.
are like, but again, this is a lease, like this lease is high, but it's a 4,500 square feet is a big facility. Here's
That's
what I would
big.
do
Yeah.
there. You put insurance-based PT in there. You could
Oh
have
my God. You could have
seven.
eight.
You have seven
Yeah.
physical therapists in there. Eight physical therapists in there. You could
Each one
mash
in
it.
Arizona, each one would turn at with 11 vi or no, 10 visits a day. Each one would turn maybe like 19,000,
For sure.
right? So you have seven. So let's say you're making 140,000 just off of those therapists per month, right? And that's at a low volume. That's a 9 visit clinic, right? So you're what, 140,000 by 12, you're making somewhere around like 100, you're making like 1.6, right? Doing that, you know? And you can make 1.6 and they're barely scraping by making 100,
That's
right?
where physical therapy like mashes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the difference. And that's, by the way, that's the insurance side. So like you,
Yeah.
it's harder to do in the cash base. This is a guy who's a
Yeah.
gym
Name me
trying to do.
any cash PT place that has more than like four PTs.
This is a guy who's
I'll
trying to
wait.
do cash. This is a guy who's trying to do cash, right? It's hard.
Yeah.
He's got
Yeah. I
three
mean,
part-time employees. I get it. Like, by the way, in the gym industry, like he probably has 5 a.m. classes. He probably has, you know, in terms of like 5 a.m. classes, and I'm looking at it. Here's a class schedule: 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 7 p.m. So here's probably a guy who's doing 5 a.m. classes, 7 p.m. So he's probably burnt out, and he's like, "I'm done.
yeah, he's dying.
Please pray to take this off my hands." So you know what I mean? Like this
Yeah.
is where you can
I want to
really
get
do
something because, oh no, but I know a lady. She was trying to do the whole thing
well.
and she just got to the point where nobody wanted it. And she actually had a pretty good lease. She was 300 or she was 3,000 square feet for like $2,000 or something. And nobody wanted it. And she's like, I'm just going to sell all my equipment and personal train somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. So anyway, there's a lot of these types of places. If you're into the fitness industry, there's a lot of that too. By the way, there's plenty of other types of businesses out there too with it. But
Yeah.
anyway, just a fun kind of
Cool.
piece.
All right.
Cool.
All right,
Cool.
man.
All right, my
Well,
friend.
if you've made it this far listening to us, then obviously you want to hear more of us.
Exactly.
Physio-growth.com or physio-growth.com. We're starting, well, we're not starting. God, we've been doing it
Yeah,
for
and
2 years.
book a free strategy call with us if you want. That's something we offer, a 30-minute strategy call. Happy to put the link
Yeah, I know you have a
for that.
link to your LinkedIn profile. So
Yep.
yeah,
So I'll put
go
a link.
find Brian on LinkedIn, click a book an appointment, and then we can talk and see if it's right for you.
I mean, we can put something also in the in around here a comment of some kind. I don't know what we'll do, but we'll figure out something easy to
Of course, you don't know what
fix.
to do because I produce these things.
Exactly. So Owen does all that, so he'll put it somewhere. He'll put it there somewhere.
You got six clinics. I just got a car and a driver's license. We're good. All
Sounds good. All right, later,
right, see you,
man.
bud.